Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, right before your eyes, to no surprise, it's the man upon two pieces of steel. It's the Kid Capri doing this one for Mary J. Blige on the 50th. So we're gonna take it uptown with the remix, and y'all get down with me one time. You know what I'm saying?
Got a weakness, oh no. You drive me crazy.
when you decided to show up. I'd rather say it all to your face. I'd rather we act like grown-ups. Sometimes I block all your calls. You start hitting my girls up, talking about where's my baby. And that's when I soften up. Yeah, you know I would rather ride you than me sleep alone. Rather call you out than no one call my phone. Hold my grudge instead of having another hold. Another hold.
Your bags, love. I know in the past, love has been sort of hard on you, but I see the God in you. I just want to nurture it. Though this love may hurt a bit, we dealing with this water, love. You even give my daughter love. I want to build a tribe with you, protect and provide for you. Truth is, I can't hide from you. The pimp in me may have to die with you. To discover me, I just want you to be trusting me. I kinda laugh when you cussing me. The aftermath is you touching me. It's destiny that we connected, girl. You and I, we can affect the world. I'm tired of the fast lane. I want you to have my last name. Yeah, love.
Running so fast, you just might take time. Sometimes I wish you knew, but I disguise the truth. I say I'm happy, but I'm still stuck on us. Does your mind play this game too? Think about me and you. I guess I'll just pretend until it all makes sense. See you face to face, I'm thinking about the days we used to be. But I can't make a scene. But I can't make a scene. See you face to face, I'm thinking about the days we used to be. But I can't make a scene. But I can't make a scene. Like I want you. You. Even if it's it's overdue. Tell me your point of view. Tell me, am I to blame? You're so good with change. A table set for two. You got me waiting, but you ain't coming through. Tried to stay patient, but gotta face the truth. See you face to face. I'm thinking about the days we used to be. But I can't make a scene. But I can't make a scene. See you face to face, I'm thinking about the days we used to be. But I can't make a scene. But I can't make a scene. Like I want you. You. Even if it's
Tell me what to do with your love. I won't be scared about it. Kind of love don't need no drugs. You think I'm the man without him. Oh baby, put the panties on. I've been going through withdrawal. Tonight I'ma have it all. Oh baby, put your thing along.
Television's blasting, I can't even hear it though. They said it's ladies free all night, but I don't even wanna go. All I wanna do right now is hold you. That all I wanna do right now is float with you. Everybody wanna turn up, I'm just tryna turn in. My friends keep on calling but I just hit ignore again. I don't even really care, gonna hear it in the morning. What I wanna do,
wanna do.
Christmas present, you say time is priceless. Well, I won't skip a second. No, telegrams, no. Postcards, emails, even written letters. To some this might seem a bit excessive, but I'm just making sure you get the message. I'm so happy I found you like a hidden treasure. Sure, of course you're flawed, but in my eyes you're still precious. Well, to dig well, that you need a bigger shovel. Hand me one, let's dig together. Love is such a drug, and I'm giving in to your peer pressure.
Everybody wants it.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
There we go.
So much better. So much better. All right. So welcome. 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 Welcome to another installment of this most amazing gathering of incredible people. As we go to I thought theme song on because I was walking around looking at things. Hopefully it'll come up. Most amazing thing of having people come through and rock out with us here on board council, of course. You know, we're going to do a little open mic relationship forum, but we got some serious topics we're going to talk about. You know, we got good people here. I'm going to open it up. You know, we're going to discuss, debate, you know, play some cool music in the background. You've been hearing, you know, I've been in my playlist. So if you caught this, make sure that you, you know, you playlist, because I'm doing this playlist thing. I decided to do it, so I'm starting to curate my playlist for real, because they said they was going to pay me for it, so I'm trying some stuff out. That being said, let me open up the mic to the good people that is here. Let's go straight out, you know, to the eloquent one, the one known as Mr. Wendell Berry. Mr. Wendell, you there? Mr. Wendell, you there? Can you hear me? Or is it super low? Wendell, can you hear me? Oh, that's weird. Hold on, let me try. Wendell, can you hear me? Hello? All right, let me go over here to Danielle to see if Danielle can hear me. Danielle, can you hear me?
I'm here. I can hear you just fine.
I think the window might be on, like, pause. I'm going to open this up, and of course, I'm going to go grab Lisa Lips.
Hey, baby.
Hey, what's going on? And, of course, the Crown King, that Wu, you in the building?
Yes, I am.
All right. So, we might be on pause with that, but, you know, welcome to another installment of War Council here on Prison Radio Universe, the Starship, where we both be going with poems and not been before, for Real Entertainment Network here. The calling number is, I don't know what the calling number is. My bad. Like, the calling number is
319-527-6300. And don't forget to press one.
Don't forget to press one to be heard. Now, being that you said, we got some serious topics to start out with, to do everything else, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, the one thing I'm going to start doing towards the new year is I'm going to let other people lead projects on War Council, because, you know, it's not a one-man band, it's not a one-man show, it's for everybody. We're going to be able to put up topics, and as the new year comes, we're going to tell people, like, yo, if you want us to discuss something, tell us about it. There will be a War Council page for people to see things and do stuff that's going on, and it's going to rock out with the socks out. So trust me, got some things on the way, but I got a lot of stuff on the trestle board, and I got to get through that stuff first before I can get to this. However, speaking of, we talking about the subject, we have a chat, and in our chat, the good brother Dawood had brought up a topic about being a step-parent, right? So we're going to start out heavy with that. So, Dawood, would you like to expound upon that?
Oh, man. that was a picture that I had shared a while ago, right? Let me see if I can bring the picture up, because it had the context of what we're going to talk about. So, essentially, what happened was, is there was a, in one of the groups I was in, they posted a picture. Then somebody's got some static. Do you hear it?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'll cut the music, though. Let's cut the music.
Yeah, something definitely sounds staticky. Anyway, in the picture, there was a gentleman, and he was married to a woman. And in the experience that he had, he was saying that, that the daughter of the, here we go, I'm going to read it to y'all. Stepfathers, I need your help. I have two children and a stepdaughter. My stepdaughter is 13 years old. She and I only talk when she needs something, food, money, a ride, etc. She doesn't speak to me unless I speak to her first, unless she wants something, in parentheses. My stepdaughter would cook and come in the room and ask my wife only if she wants to eat. She will only address her and not me as if I don't exist. If I ask her to do something, she huffs and puffs like I'm bothering her. Wife doesn't say anything about it. After having countless talks to the both of them about the same thing without any change, I decided going forward that I wouldn't be spending any money or doing anything for her. Yesterday, I took my daughter out to get a pedicure, and when we got done, I brought both my son and daughter home. When we got home and I had food for my children and not my stepdaughter, Dalton said I was wrong. My thing is, I'm tired of feeling like I have to kiss the ass of a 13-year-old who doesn't seem to want anything to do with me but feels like she can ask me for things. What should I do? This is causing a strain on my marriage, and I'm ready to move out. There you go.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. So with that, we wanted to talk about what it's like being a step-parent, the pros and cons, because if we're going to talk about war counsel and we deal with relationships, 90% of the time that you deal with a man or a woman in the black community, they got existing children. And what was your experience dealing with a man with children, dealing with a woman with children? Did it work? Did it not work? Do you still have a bond with the children? We all have a lot to say.
I think this is the proper people on this particular panel to address this. Matter of fact,
word up. Is Van here?
Yeah, I think it's.
I said, is Van here?
No, Van's not here.
Okay.
His wife's birthday was yesterday, so, I mean.
Oh, that's right.
We may not see him this week.
Yeah. He's on lockdown. Yep. Anyway, it is what it is.
I talked to him yesterday.
We're more than capable.
Absolutely.
We're more than capable.
But anything else? Wait, Wendell, are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
Yes, I know.
There he is, bro.
Because I wasn't sure if he was in there. I cut the music, but because some of us, you know, we have kids. We've been in relationships with people with kids. So let's start at the top with you and then work our way down. So, Wendell, what is your opinion on that?
Yeah, this situation is it's tough because, you know, there's an altruistic, you know, side, you know, where you want to try to do as much as you can for, you know, for the child. But there's a social contract, though. You know, you treat me with some kindness, treat me with some respect as an adult and as your, you know, as your bonus parent. Now, a lot of children don't know what that looks like nowadays, especially if they came from a situation where the parent that's no longer there, you know, it was not really a great person, you know, so we don't really know what the mindset of the child is, but children by definition are predisposed to being entitled and self-centered. And it's just a part of how they are until they learn social skills. So this creates an opportunity for the man there to really not just harbor feelings of ill will, but to actually use it as a teaching opportunity, you know, where he now establishes himself as someone who is not only worthy of respect because of his position, but because of the relationship that he's building with the child. But outside of that, you know, he's going to get what he gets because what is going into that child has probably been deposited in that child by the mother, and you know he needs to develop and establish his value proposition in the eyes of that child, not just as a source of finances, but as, you know, as a source of leadership. Otherwise, I mean, he's just always going to be looked at as a walking wallet. And that obviously is not where he wants to be. And I can understand that.
Hmm. All right. Good one. I'm going to go from you to go to Danielle. Danielle, what's your opinion?
This is touchy. I agree with what Wendell said. I was never a step-parent, but when I met my youngest son's father, I eventually met his children. He was actually separated from his wife, and he was staying with his mother. And his daughter, his son didn't seem to have a problem with me, but his daughter had a major issue with me being another woman in her dad's life, and she would give me an attitude until she saw something that I had that she liked. Then she would kind of like warm up to me, cozy up to me to see if I would allow her to use what I had. There was a particular kind of cell phone back then, and it was really popular. And she wanted to hold it and use it. And at first I was like, hell no, you disrespectful little heifer. But I told her she could sit down next to me and watch me use it. She has also come over there while I was with her dad, and she would like stand in the hallway and wait for me to come out of the bathroom and just stand there and look at me like Michael Myers or some shit, you know. She was really like, she was very disrespectful when it came down to me. And I had to check myself and say, you know what, I can understand that because, I didn't find out how her dad really was until much later, after I had a baby by him. But I can only imagine that is not an easy task at all. Because you want to build a rapport, you want to build a relationship with the child, but you want to have them understand they got to respect you at the same time. And then on the other hand, you got the child dealing with all kinds of emotions because their parents are separated. And like Wendell said, there's this sense of entitlement that they have gotten used to. And this is, I think it comes out even stronger when another person comes into the relationship with the other parent. So that's pretty much all I can give you from my experience.
That's crazy. Lisa Lips?
That's what Danielle was saying. I've never been a step parent, but I have seen how the situation turns sometimes because you're kind of walking a fine line as a step parent between being your and not crossing lines when it comes to the children, but also to you are a married couple and these children. And when there's something like this child's doing, it's obvious that she's not going to handle it all, that she's just, unless it's something she wants from me. And so I can understand the way that he does. It's a difficult situation no matter, because that child is always going to be your first child, so there has to be a way for everybody to get along. I don't have any first experience in this situation, but I see where the problem could be. A long time ago, I dated someone who had a daughter, and his daughter really took to me, and I was fortunate. She liked spending time with me. Matter of fact, she requested to come and spend the summer with me before I married, when we were on the track to be married, before I married her father. She wanted to just come spend the summer with me. She was about 8 years old, and I had her for 2 months that summer. And we go on fine, but I mean, it's a case by case experience.
All right, and then we loop back around to you, Dawood. I got a lot to say about this, but I'm gonna kick it over to you.
So this is a general talk about our experience, right? We're not actually jumping in just yet. So I have been a stepdad a couple of times, or even just a older man in the situation. And what I can say is that it's a mixed bag, you know. You really have to be mature about it. And if you're just dating somebody, then you have to take the position that no matter what I do, I'm a positive influence on this child. Because if you try to take the position that this is like my child and I'm trying to get the same emotional connection as your child, you're setting yourself up for potential heartbreak. And I'm not saying it always ends in heartbreak, but what I am saying is that, like, I was in a situation when I was 19 years old, and since I was with, had three girls, we're still friends today, but them chicks don't, them girls don't give two craps about me. And I know I was in their life, and I was trying to set a positive example, but when we broke up, then I had to kind of emotionally disconnect, and they had to emotionally disconnect. I don't blame them for it. But at the same time, it's just a very delicate situation when you become somebody's stepdad or, like, role model. I was recently in a relationship with somebody I really loved and cared about, and it ended because of philosophical differences. But that person's daughter loved me. I mean, would call me up and be like, when are you coming over and you need to bring this? And, like, that was my little snowflake, you understand? And now, we're, you know, that we're not together, she still tells her mother, you know, I want to hang out with Daoud. I want to, and she was like, it doesn't work like that. And she's too young to understand it doesn't work like that. Aww. So you got to be very careful with these stepdad situations, because I love children. If you on my Facebook friend, you know that I post 2 to 3 videos about children a day. I don't want no more, but I love children. You know what I'm saying? And so when I get involved with a woman that got children, I'm not that dude that's just going to be standing at the door, or I'm showing up at your house at 10, 11 because I'm just trying to hit the skins, and that's when the child's going to be asleep. I used to like color with this child, play Uno with this child, carry her around the house, do horsey rides, things like that. And at some point, what really broke my heart is she said, Dad, I wish you was my real dad.
Aww.
And I was like, wow. You understand? Like, I didn't know I could have an effect on a child like that. So I just think a lot of times we just got to be very careful, because the psychology, you know, the article that I read in the beginning of this show was, you know, it gives you the man's point of view. But what about the child? What about the child? How is the child supposed to feel when you come in and you start bonding with them, it doesn't go right between you and their mother or father, and now you got to go, but they want to be in your life. It's rough, man. We just got to be careful, I think.
That's so sad.
No.
That's heartbreaking.
You know what? I agree with you. It is. Well, I mean, but in some cases, such as my own, being the stepfather and then having to go through literally the same thing that happened. Like my ex-wife's oldest son, I don't deal with him in any form or fashion. I don't want to. I don't claim him, doesn't matter, you know. Like, and the crazy thing about it was, like, you know, as you grow older, you know, you think about some of the dumb shit you did when you were younger. I think everybody does this, right? I think about, like, how his father, like, literally, his whole, it's like he was okay until he went to go live with his father. And when he went to go live with his father, that's when he was abandoned, he was sexually abused, a whole bunch of bad shit happened to him.
Right.
And I pleaded with his mother, like, yo, listen, make this man come and get his son. Make him. But she just wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. Now, I'm going to put something in the parking lot, come back to it. Now, when he came back different, and he did a lot of different things, and he did a lot of things that were just out of control and everything else, and much like that, you know, I'm financially responsible for him. I'm having to come to school for him, you know. One time I was like walking with him in a mall, and this boy just walked up to him and hit him, and I grabbed the boy. like, you know, like, because he just walked up to him and hit him, like, and he's, you know, like, it was, like, real crazy, like he just ran up on it, like, he was, like, he ran up and hit him, like, slapped him, and so I just grabbed him, I was like, what the fuck you doing, right? And he's like, oh, no, that's the way we play. I said, nah, we don't play like that. I said, especially in the mall, don't, you know, anything else is going on. And the kid who slapped him was scared because of the way I grabbed him, right? So literally I've had to be, you know, a protector for him. And literally, like, I got no respect from him whatsoever. Like, he would, like, I would, like, you know, in the days of PlayStation 2 and 3 and 4, like, he would just straight up, I would buy games. He'd just take them in and trade them in and get whatever he wanted. And his mother didn't see a problem with that. He didn't see a problem. Like, you know, he would, like, I had, like, a, like, you know, back in the days when we used to have racing games, I don't know if y'all remember that. So when I had the racing games, I bought the whole, like, I had the steering wheel. I had the, with the gas and the thing, like you literally could sit down and really be like you was driving a race car, for real, because that's how the controller works. And this kid just basically lent my controller out and never got it back. I was like, yo, where's my controller? Oh, I lent it. He had a friend named Lom. Oh, I lent it to Lom. Okay, you need to go get it back from Lom. Lom doesn't have it anymore. Well, what happened with Lom? Well, Lom traded it for this.
Wow.
And I was like, why would Lom trade something that didn't belong to him? But, you know, like, he would do stuff all the time, like, just crazy stuff. Like, you know, like, take one time, right, which was nuts. So I had an iPod, right, and I put all these lists on the iPod. I'm sitting here venting. I put all these lists on the iPod. I spent hours upon hours putting these lists together, getting music from wherever sources I have and putting these things together so I could play it, right? So I literally left it on the table, right? He took it, right? He had all intentions on using, right? And then he had me going to different people's houses because my daughter had friends over. I went to all her friends' houses. I was like, yo, I need my iPod back, blah, blah, blah. And they was like, we ain't got it. And then so, you know, and the funny thing is, like, you know, when kids are lying and when they're not lying, but they was like, like, one girl, she's like, we literally came in for a minute and then we went right back out. And two of the girls was like, the only person who was there was Manuel. So I said, oh, I'm sorry, I put his name out. So I'm like, so I go to her and I said, listen, you need to ask him if he got it, you know. And so he would do stuff like that all the time, like even as an adult, like he would say, oh, you know, like, he went through all these different changes. Like there's, like, a news article because his boyfriend tried to kill him, dragged him in a car, ran into a house, and almost knocked the house down with his car. But he would tell me, like, his mother said it was okay for him to use the car, do all these different things. And she had an Audi, which one's the station wagon? That's the A4? Anybody knows it? That's the one? Station wagon? Oh, I don't know. But he literally crashed up his mother's car and came home laughing about it. And, and the thing was is that his mother would, like, put me, like, he would say incredibly nutty shit and do nutty shit and all kinds of different things. Like, and so she wouldn't just, like, address him, like. And so he did something that got himself in a real lot of trouble. And I was like, yo, you need to let him go to Equinox so he can live in the apartment so that you can keep everything here, like, straight. And so she's like, no, that's my son. What are we supposed to do? Blah, blah, blah. And then she moved into the worst neighborhood ever. She moved over to Dana Ave. So, you there? Hello?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. You didn't hear me say, oh, God, because I was on mute.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, God, damn
so
it.
So
in the crack era?
She moved it. She moved into an area that had a hole in the roof with pigeons.
Oh, man.
Pigeons. Like, You can look through the whole
Yeah, I have no idea what he's talking about, but that's a terrible. Oh man.
Right.
Wow.
It was just crazy. Like just so much how she was to let him get away with so much stuff, and it was like crazy, like literally crazy stuff. And the thing was, is that the funny thing is, the last time I had any significant interaction with him is when Assad had graduated from high school. And, you know, by that time, Ja was born. And so it's like, oh, we're all going to go out to eat. And so, like, he really expected me to pay for him. I was like, I'm not paying for you. Like, you know, because he had been making, oh, that's not my father, that's not my dad. I was like, I'm not paying for you. I said, I'm paying for my three. I was like, my two. Well, three. I said, my three. That's what I'm paying for. I said, you know, and then she's like, well, why'd you bring us out here? I said, no, you suggested we eat. You didn't say I was going to have to pay. And I'm not paying for you nor him. I don't have to. I'm paying for my three.
Right.
That's what I'm paying for. The Fluffians. And he was like mad because he really didn't bring no money. And I was like, you didn't bring no money. What you expected, like, you know, and the thing was that pissed me off is that, like, when my son graduated from eighth grade, he didn't come, right? He couldn't be bothered. And then once my son got through college, my son was like, he disowns his brother and everything else. But he literally had this idea, like, he's gonna come and eat and stuff like that. And I was just like, nah, that's not. I'm like, D, I have no interaction with you in any sense or form. I'm not your father. Your father is this person who does this. I was like, he didn't care for your existence for 19 years. I said, he's very sparingly sent money to you. I said, every roof over your head, all this other stuff that got paid for, none of this stuff, you had no respect for me in any sense or any form or fashion whatsoever. But for some strange reason, like you know, his mother expected me to pay for him. Like, I could, man, listen, I could tell you the amount of money I spent on that kid, you know, and the amount of stuff that he did, like, you know, just anything else. Like, I had a PlayStation 3. He literally would take, like, the PlayStation 3 places. And I say, I was like, yo, it's my PlayStation 3. Oh, he took it here, you know. It was just nuts. So I get what the brother's saying, though. Because, you know, people always, they always want something, want a ride, want money, you know, and like, you know, there's a social contract, as Wendell would say, there's a social contract that happens because you're supposed to be providing. And he would beef about, like, oh, well, you know, Sadiana, they got all these different people. And the funny thing is, like, his grandfather, like, their grandfather always played favorites with him and not with my kids. Like, they never bought my kids nothing. Like,
damn.
Never brought them nothing, you know. Never did anything else, but they would buy him stuff and stuff. Like, it was just real wild shit, like how they play favorites. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But let me stop. I'm going to land my plane. Wendell dropped. Shit. That's what happened to him. I don't have it. I'll go get him back in a second. So let's get into it. Where do we go from here?
Okay, so we gave our introductory thoughts on what it is to be a stepfather, stepmother, or our experience. I guess what, you know, based on kind of what my experience was with the last person, how would you have done something better? Like, do you see your relationship with stepchildren as a chance to be something that their father or mother wasn't? Or do you see it as a chance to bond with the child? Or do you see it as just a necessary annoyance? Now, I'm pretty sure nobody here is going to say a necessary annoyance, but there's some cases that they are. And I'll give you an example myself. I was talking to a chick like two years ago in the summertime, and her child was off the chain. I mean, off the chain. And, like, he's used to getting over on his mom. You know, and she was raising him kind of un-African-American. So anyway, long story short, he, like, broke out the house and ran towards the street, and she was chasing him and stuff like that. I could barely contain myself because my children aren't checked. So she went back in the house, and then he tried to do it again, but he tried to run past me, and I grabbed him by his collar, and he felt the full wrath of a father. You know what I'm saying? And he looked in my face, and for the first time I could see that look. That look was like, oh, shit, I done messed up. This is a dad. You know what I'm saying? And so now I had a dilemma, because part of me was like, man, this little nigga's a nuisance, and I got to deal with him in order to deal with her, and blah, blah, blah. But then there's another part of me saying, bro, if you stay around and you show him a good example and you do this enough, maybe you can help her out by straightening him out. And, you know, I mean, some people have time in order to, like, some people feel like they got time in order to perform that service, and some people don't give a damn. But I guess what I'm wondering is what side of this do you fall on? Do you see it as your duty to kind of make an impression on that child? Do you see it as just something where you're going to bond with that child to give that child love and that child receive love from you? Or do you just see it as a necessary annoyance?
I don't see it.
You know what? Go ahead. No, go ahead, Danielle.
I don't see it as a necessary annoyance, because all kids can be annoying. All of them can get on your damn nerves. Come on, cat, move. But I, well, if I had the opportunity again, I wouldn't put myself in the position or even come off as me trying to be the parent they never had. Me being a parent already, I know what it takes to be just a mother to a child,
right.
Period. And that's what they would
right.
get from me. I had another friend. He was actually my first boyfriend, and he found me on Facebook like years later, and we wound up meeting up with each other and getting acquainted with each other again. And he had two daughters, but one was his stepchild, and the other one was from his marriage, and she just fell in love with me. And we spent a lot of time together. It was never no romantic thing or anything like that. I think he hung around me and wanted to be around me because I was very attentive to him. I didn't find out why until like the last year. He was dying of cancer, and he didn't tell me until the last couple of months, and it kind of broke me because we got really, really tight again. And then to have to face his daughter, he hadn't even told her, and I'm holding this in like, oh, my goodness. Most children tend to be drawn to me, and like I said, I know how to be a mother. I know what it takes. And I don't even think about, what am I saying? I was a stepmother. Oh, my God. I forgot about my husband.
No, what you were saying was dope, though. Don't get it twisted. What you were saying was dope.
Okay. But, yeah, I am a stepmother. His oldest daughter, she really, really took to me. But her mother had a lot of wicked shit to say, like really bad messages to send to me when he would go and get his daughter and bring her over to my house. And I wanted to feed into it, but I said, if this little girl sees me acting a fool with her mother, I don't really know what kind of relationship she had with her mother, okay? All I seen was the baby, you know, the little girl, and she... now, one thing I could tell, her mother wasn't taking time with her. Okay. There was certain things the little girl was doing, and I was like, she don't have no guidance when it comes down to this part of her life. And it's just the overall maintenance of her body, her hair, the way that she would talk. She would want to engage in conversation with me. And I'm like, I don't know if this child's getting it from her mom or if she's not, but I'm going to do the best I can. And that's pretty much it, you know. I can't believe I forgot about that child. Yeah. But I did it with my friend's daughter too, because her mom was off, you know, kind of gallivanting and doing what she wanted to do, and wasn't a lot of time spent with her. So I guess I don't know, maybe I just gave off their energy and she latched on to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much it. So if I had the chance to do it again, I wouldn't change a thing. I'd still just be who I
right.
am and love the children, and that's it.
Right. That is dope.
Thank you.
Lisa?
Yeah?
What's your take? What would be your, what side do you fall on the attachment style to a child?
It depends on how you get along with the child. You have to take your time with kids when you get involved with somebody, because you don't want to cause any bad impressions, but you also don't want to step in like a parent, because that's not your place. They're not your kids. But you have to, and I don't know, it's hard for me to say, you have to have the right balance. You have to get to know the child, let the child get to know you, and find your position with that child, because you can't assume that they're going to have any attachment to you or have any real like for you even. So, you know, it's just walking the right line and trying to see where you fit in with that child as part of that family.
Right.
Because sometimes stepkids never take to you, no matter what you do.
Hmm. Yep. Mm. Brother Wendell?
No, he had sound problems, but I'm going to get him in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and get him. But you can actually
What's your attachment style, Frank? Like, when you get involved with a woman that has children, is it what would yours be? Is it a necessary annoyance? Is it, you're bonding for love, or you're bonding to make a statement?
All right, well, I don't know if any of these, I don't think I qualify none of this shit. At the fact of, for one, when I met my ex-wife, she had her son. So from a baby, I raised him, like from three, like literally three. Like, I met him when he was three, was in the house with him when he was five. So, you know, there was a codependence that existed between her and him. So much so that my pediatrician was like, they're codependent on each other. And that's what is happening with them, and that's how that relationship happens. I know that given if I was going to do it again, right, depending on the age of the child, what I plan on doing in life, because number one, I'm not trying to be anybody's dad. I'm not your dad. I'll be your friend. I'll be anything else. That's all the decisions that happens. I'm not putting my hands on you. I'm not touching you. You know, I'll give you advice. I'll help you if you want to help. It has to be homegrown and organic, if anything. I'm not putting anything into anything unless it's there's a general thing that happens for the house. It'd be for the house. You know, if you're in the house, you're part of this house, you know, you have responsibilities, you have everything else, you fulfill those. And I'll keep that social contract going with that. But do not expect me to raise you, do all these different things, step into the boundary, because these are the things that have to go for your mom. Now, if you request it and you come close, and we're in a situation where we're married, I'm married to your mother or something like that, then I would establish myself as a figure, but I would not overstep my bounds. I refuse to. More importantly, you know, I'm like the brother. Like, if you don't feel like you can hear me or listen to me or follow the rules of my house, you're either going to have to go or you're just going to get cut. And when you get cut, that means you get nothing from me, point blank, period. There's nothing you can go to or get through that's going to happen, because you're not going to control the situation through emotional terrorism. I refuse that. I went through that already. That will never happen again. Never happen again in life. But more importantly,
well,
if a person is your
reason. Let me ask you a question. He had to know that this child couldn't stand him before he even married this woman. Why did you go
right.
through it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you think he was going to change?
Listen.
That's
know
the thing I don't understand is like.
I know no is some of the best things that you could ever use in life, and he can fix every situation. Hey, I need some money. No, I need such and such. No, I need a ride. No. Right.
Let me ask this last question because I know you got two more topics.
Hold on,
so let me ask this last question.
But we do have one more person on the call. Acyon came in.
Oh my bad.
So Acyon's in here too. So.
Oh, I'm the one man army Acyon. I've never been taken out. What's up, bro?
What's up, beautiful people? How you doing?
Hey.
Cooling. I appreciate the ODB reference, too.
No doubt, bro.
What's
your take on the stepdaddy season? Like, what would you be looking to do? Would you see the child as an like a necessary annoyance? Would you see the child as somebody to bond with? Or would you see the child as something that you're trying to make a statement to that child if their father's not available?
Well, I was a stepfather. I was married, and when I took on that responsibility, I took on the responsibility of being a parent too, because one father wasn't in their life, and the other one, her father was in prison. And when I met the girls, they were 5 and 2. So I took on that responsibility of being the dad, but just like, I don't know if that was my hobby that was before me. Same thing what he said. I wasn't trying to be your dad. I was your friend. I was trying to show that there are positive male role models out there. There are people, men out there who actually stand on business and take care of what they got to take care of. And even after with mom and I separated, I still tried to keep a relationship with the girls, but you know, it is what it is. They decided to follow through and basically ghost me and stick with their mama. But every once in a while I get a random message from one of them out the blue. And it's, I guess they're starting to remember that I was there. As a man, it did hurt. I'm not going to hold you. It did hurt. And I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
It hurt losing that family because once I built that family, it was mine. I was the one who was doing the brat dolls and helping them make cookies and stuff like that. So I learned about being a father. I went from being a single family man to a family man. And then I went back to being a single man. You know what I'm saying? I went back to being on my own. So it was kind of a weird adjustment. I didn't look at it as an annoyance because if you're going to call yourself courting a woman who has kids, you have to be respectful of the fact that she has children. I think I honestly would not want a woman, and I mean this from the bottom of my soul, I would not want a woman that would put me in front of her kids. I can't. I don't give a damn how fine you are. I don't care. You could have golden pussy. I do not want you if you're going to put me in front of your children because that shows me that, for one, and I'm not talking about grown children. I'm talking about children. If you got a son that's 20-some years old and he living on the couch and he ain't doing nothing with his life, I get that. But if you have a child that can't really do anything but depend on you and you decide, well, I don't want that. I want to go and do me. And you leave that child out there, I can't, you know? I don't look at it as an annoyance. I look at it as a community. When we have children, and I'm a firm believer, even if I see a kid now, and I don't know that kid, and he out doing something crazy, I'm about to say something like, hey, yo, you need to chill. Because it could be, it take 4 to 5 minutes to change a child's life.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't just a poem. It's real, you know?
Word. Yep.
Well, that's pretty much my
thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Ask the last question?
No, I'm just saying. But I'm just saying, literally, me as a step parent really sucked. Like, and then, like, there were so many limitations that happened because, you know, I'm not going to hold you. Like, when he went away to his father's, it was like a golden age. Like, everything worked. Everything was firing on all cylinders. Like, there was a lot of good things that was going on. Like, it felt, I felt like that was the family I was supposed to have. My kids was aligned. Everything was good. You know what I'm saying? Like, we spent time doing a lot of fun stuff together, you know, as a whole family, like me, her, and the two kids, you know. And we would do all of these different things, you know, that would happen. And for some strange reason, she was uber considerate. She, like, you know, like we literally had a life. Like, we had a life, you know. And we worked. Everything went together. There was dinners, stuff like that. We went places. We, you know, we shopped as a family. We did a whole bunch of stuff. And so my kids will tell you, like, the time between the time that we stayed in that particular place, you know, we had a good life. And then when he came back, everything changed. Everything changed. Yeah. And the thing was that, like, he was in, like, he would do things knowing that she would protect him. She would do, you know, like, and I mean, like, crazy shit. Like, I can't even talk about it. He would do crazy shit.
Wow.
Like literally, like, he literally went into my drawer, right? He took a good pair of jeans from me, and he couldn't really fit them, but he wore them school anyway, and then he ripped them. And then I told her, I said, listen, he ripped them. She's like, you can get yourself another pair. I was like, that's not the point. Point is, he came in here, he stole a pair of jeans. What else is he taking? And the thing was is that he had a problem with his fingers. He would steal, you know, like even as an adult, like even as an adult, my daughter was complaining. It's like he stole my Jordan, stole my thing, did this, he sold this and did all this other stuff. You know, it was like, and his mother would just let him rock. You know, and so I was like, man, sometimes you'd be in a situation where it'd be so bad with a person, you're trying to maintain a relationship, but you don't have to do that, you know, any longer, because people just are doing things. Like, I wanted to flip it in a different way, because what happens if your parent gets married older and you have to deal with the woman that he's married to? Because, you know, I'm going through that right now, you know, and his wife feels super entitled towards us. So I'm like, you're not nobody's mother. I'm like, you know. Last time I was at my pop's crib, she's like, yeah, tell him he can't sleep on the couch. He's got to sleep up in the room. And I'm sitting there like, I was like, this couch is 30 years old. It's here for, you've only been here 6 years. Like, you got to calm yourself down. And then, but the crazy thing is that he'll be talking to people like they their parents. And I'm like, yo, you're not nobody's parent around here. You got one child. Your child lives in Florida. He ain't here. Ain't nobody here, you know, anything else is going on. And it's, like, crazy because she expects my father to put her over him, and which my father does mostly. But, you know, only recently my father was like, you know, when my son has his barbecue, he really sent her away. He's like, nah, you got to go. You got to go. Neither him or his son are having a good time with you at this point. Plus, she had told my son, you know, don't be like your father. I was like, what kind of evil shit is that? You know,
yeah.
Kind of evil shit. You won't walk up on a 10-year-old, you know, be like your father. I was like, listen. I said you ain't got to worry about shit for me in life. I will never fuck with you from this point forward. You know, I said if I'm around and some shit, because
what would make,
you know, and then my father was like because she just does bullshit, and then my father was letting her get away with it. And I told him, I said, listen, I had took all my equipment out of the house, took everything that belonged to me out of the house. And I said, listen, I said, next time I come back, if you say something stupid, I said, I'm a blaster, and you're probably going to disown me, and you're going to be mad. I said, but it is what it is. I said, you can't let her run around having these type of opinions and thinking that she can impact people's lives like that. Like, it just doesn't work. And it's, like, weird, because when I met her, she was, like, uber competitive, like, if we had baby pictures of Jasiri, she'd pull out baby pictures of her grandchildren, but it would be, like, competitive. And I'm like, why are you competing? You know, why are you – what's all this all about? You know, but I realized that my father, he's very proud of the fact that he can call his sons, and that he's also proud of the fact that we have very, very good friends. Like, he's like, my sons have very good friends, too. you know, they, you know, like my pops would see that wooed and be like, yo, what up? Really, yo, what up? You know what I'm saying? Freaking ACR sat with my pops and almost got punched in the mouth because he was trying to call me by my government. I don't like that.
I'm going to always call you by your government. I don't give a damn.
Let me say this real quick before we close out this topic. I can tell you the other side of this, which is I remember my first stepdaddy experience. I was with a chick. She had three children. And I was too young to even know what was going on. And she was like, well, I guess they got to get used to calling you daddy. I was like, daddy? I never had no children. You understand?
Mm.
So, of course, you know, I got five now, but back then I had no children. So I'm like, daddy? You know what I'm saying? So I got used to it. And, you know, listen, I never hit nobody else's child or disciplined nobody else's child, but my voice meant something in that house. And then one day I came home from work, and my name was Daoud. And I was like, why are you calling me that? You know what I'm saying? And they always calling me Daoud. She said, oh, well, their dad is just getting ready to come home from prison.
Oh,
so
wow.
I guess, you know, I felt it was a good idea for them to call you Daoud again. I'm like, what? And you didn't even talk to me about it? So what I didn't realize, you know what I'm saying, because I'm not a street dude, I didn't realize that these three children got a father somewhere. And what it was is he was locked up on a drug violation, and he got the first-time felon, which some people call shock. And so you go through this little boot camp for 6 months, and then you get out. So basically, I was daddy until this fool came home. And once he came home, now mind you, this is a guy that literally has 22 children on this planet right now. And they were three out of the 22.
Wow.
Damn.
That's
but she
lie.
Wanted to try to make, yeah, she wanted
that's
to try to make
fucking
it right with the dude. Yeah, word, right?
That's a lot.
Most of them are significantly, most of them are significantly younger women than him. So, you know, he was playing that game. So the thing is that when he came out, she wanted to try to see if it was going to work out with him. And we was together. And it didn't work out, you understand? But it broke the family forever. Because at that point, the children didn't want to bond with me anymore. And I didn't want to come around them like that anymore. And so, like, sometimes I just think that we got to be very careful when we give out that title, mom or dad, because that's serious. And a dude, you know, the children take it one way, but the person that's getting the title takes it another way also. And when you take that title away from them, you don't understand the emotional damage that you're doing, because it's like, how is that person supposed to bond with somebody else's children when they find somebody new and they got children, knowing that they did that, and you took the title, of, you know, basically pulled the rug from under him. It's like traumatizing.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Right. If I could touch in on that real quick, I never wanted the children to call me dad because I wasn't trying. Like I said, I'm not your father. But I also wasn't neglecting the opportunity to be a good mentor or
right.
show, you know, respect. You know, I've being raised by a single mother, I came into a couple dudes call themselves trying to bogart their way into my life. Like, oh, you know, I'm
right.
You know, get the fuck out of here. Who the hell do you think you are?
Right.
You know, I'm not going to play myself, and I'm not going to let you play me. And I'm not even
right.
with my own dad. Like, you wasn't in my life, but now you're trying to come in my life after 20 some years. And you want to, oh, I'm your father. No. You gave birth to me. You're not my father. My
right.
uncles were my fathers. My grandfather was my father. You were too busy running the streets. So I get where you're coming from, and I've had to deal with that before, too, where females try and push that whole idea on me, and it's like, no, they have a father. I'm not trying to be their father. I could be their friend. I could be their mentor, but you
right.
can't sit there and push me to be a father just because you made a bad choice with the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely see where you're coming from, bro.
Tell you what, that's, you know what, I never had that experience with my mother. My mother, like, the people that were around my mother, nobody was trying to, like, say the boyfriend named Wesley, and nobody's trying to mess with that dude because that dude was fucked up. He had multiple women, whatever. And it was crazy because it was like my mother was, like, trying to figure it out and do all kinds of extra stuff. But, you know, he would always come around and just be weird and shit and things of that sort. And then he was married. And he still seen my mother. So, my mother was a side chick. But we only dealt with him because that's who her, quote-unquote, chosen love was. Right, but my pops was always around different. Like when he got married to his wife Susan, we had known Susan all our lives because, you know, if you hear any of my poems, when we said we have to go collect my father, we would be collected by father from her house, and she would never try to be right. his mother because she never wanted to have children. You know, she's like, I love you like a child, and anything else was going on. But it was just weird, strange, unusual. She's Armenian. That's what I'm going to tell you. She's Armenian. So, like, the weird things about other things, like, you know, the differences between that. Like when my father had a girlfriend, we liked Carlene, even though she was a little bit strange. But we liked her. You know, she was a little bit strange, but she knew, like she wasn't offensive, like, in any sense of the word. She was never trying to tell people what to do with themselves. If she needed something, she'd ask for it. Like, she was always, she always thought it was better to have all the family around. Like, she always thought, like, yeah. She's like, yes, we want you to come around. She never tried to interfere, tell you what to do, anything else like that. She was always, like, cool as fucking pie, right? And she never outstanding. She, you know, a little funny looking, but she was always, like, good. And then, you know, it was God rest her soul. I'm sorry, because she passed.
Just a tad bit funny looking out.
I mean, compared to, never mind, let me not get into that. But I'm saying,
you ain't sure. You was Armenian, but she wasn't, like, exactly a Kardashian, right?
I'm just saying, but she was always cool. Like, she was never, like, she never, like, stepped over the line. Like, and she was pleasant to be around. She's never trying to, like, tell people to do shit. Like, she was never that type of person, you know. But my pop's current wife, she always trying to, like, talk to people. Like, I'm like, yo. And it was funny because she'd be like, yo, how my girls doing? They're not your girls. They don't even know you like that. I'm like, give you my phone number. I was like, they're really not going to call you. I'm like, you know, when somebody's not in that environment where they don't, it's almost like they didn't make friends growing up. And so she tried to bogart and say things and give opinions. And I'm like, yo, like, she told my daughter, she's like, yeah, you need to hang out with my friends. But it was like, she's like, I'm not hanging out with nobody you know. I'm just saying. But the crazy thing is that my ex-wife's husband. I'm just saying. But my ex-wife's husband, he put up a thing. He's like, yeah, my wife and my daughter. I was like, motherfucker, you ain't got no daughter. I was like, you didn't have no kids. They ain't a kid. You met her when she's 25. Stop the cap. Because he's a clout chaser. Like, he's a clout chaser of the highest order. He's like, yeah, my wife's youngest son became a doctor today. You know, and I was like, B, you have nothing to do with nothing. Why are you clout chasing? Don't be that guy. Don't be the person that happens. Like, it's weird stuff where you have people trying to be step parents. I'm like, you're not a step parent. I'm like, you're married. Like, you know, you're married to their mother. That's what it is. It's like, my father's wife. I'm like, you're married to him. You have nothing to do with us. You know, so it gets a little weird. It gets a little funky. But I guess I'm gonna land my plane. Are we gonna move on to the next topic?
Yeah, let's do it. That was dope though, and thanks for the contribution, ACL. You definitely added color to this.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. Javi, you ain't shit. I'm going to say it again.
Wait a minute. This is my show. Fuck you. I forgot to tell you. Wait a second. It's my show.
Love you too, big bro.
What are you talking about? I ain't shit. Motherfucker, don't get me started. Don't get me started.
Don't get him started, Lord. Yeah, don't get him
like,
started.
It'd be the worst rundown. Listen, I'll let the lips loose and be like on some crazy shit. Anyway, we are gonna move on. We are going to move on to the next topic. All right. Let me see. We're gonna go into the what you call it thing. All right, hold on for a second. All right, so you know I got bringing these crazy Reddit stories and shit for counsel, so I'm gonna read it to you. All right. This one is called "Am I the Asshole? I haven't told my dad that I'm not his biological daughter and my mom is a cheater." So I, female 35, found out that my dad, male 63, is my biological father. My parents have been married since 1983. They were very young, and honestly, I don't think either one was ready for such a commitment, but that's beyond the point. Back in 2018, my family was given 23andMe DNA kits for Christmas. I got the results in 2019, but nothing crazy was revealed. I was matched immediately with my mom and had a big question mark for dad. I thought it was weird that my dad didn't come up, but questioned my parents about it. My mom, female 57, said it was because my dad has profile blocked. I didn't know how any of this worked, and it seemed legit. Just a FYI, my mom controls both her and my dad's accounts because my dad isn't tech savvy. I dropped it, and life went on. Fast forward to this past August, I hadn't logged into my 23andMe account since 2019. I don't know what got into me, but on my 35th birthday, I was cleaning out my social media email account and saw a notification from 23andMe saying I had a second cousin wanting to connect. I logged on and saw 20 new notifications, DNA matches and messages going back to 2021. I clicked on it and sorted all matches by the strength of relation, and boom, I found out that I have a half-brother. Apparently, he had reached out to me the year prior. Honestly, I thought he was my dad's bastard son. My whole life, my mother had put it in my head and my siblings' heads that my dad was a cheater and he may have illegitimate children. So even though it might be a shock, it wasn't too out there. My half-brother, let's call him John, started chatting back and forth. John disclosed to me that he grew up with his biological father. Confused, I started digging deeper into my DNA matches. I found lots of family and shared with John, but none of them were familiar to me. My parents were traveling for a month, and then we had a slew of birthdays, so I didn't have a chance to talk to my mother in private until recently. My mother confessed that she had cheated on my dad, but she truly believed that nothing had come from those affairs. She said that my dad had no idea that she had ever cheated on him. I asked her about my biological father, and her response was that she had met a lot of people through work, and there was nothing serious, just a friend that she used to go to for male attention. All right. Sorry, this thing was messing up. For a second. Oh, okay. Where's that? I asked her about my biological father, and her response is that she had met a lot of people through work, and it was nothing serious. She wanted male attention. I asked my older sister, female 37, was my dad's biological daughter, but she replied, now she's unsure of my sister's paternity and isn't even sure if we share the same biological father. I am completely heartbroken and torn. I love my dad, and I know this will break his heart. My mom asked me what I wanted her to do, if I wanted to go public, but she warned me that this news will break many hearts. I hate that she put that on me. I told her that she needed to think about all of this too, and it will be her choice when and how my dad and younger siblings, who are female 30 and male 29, find out. I also told her I'm going to continue to get to know my half-siblings. My dad deserves to know, but I am scared of breaking up my family. I know I told my mom to decide, but I feel like the asshole for not telling my dad right away. What should I do?
First of all, ooh, mom was getting it in because she don't know who the father did nothing. She was doing whatever she felt like and keeping it from her husband. So now she got these children and don't know who the daddy is to any of them, and got the man she was married to believing that all of them belong to him. And I'm with the chick. I mean, it's not fair to her that her mother is saying it's her fault if the family falls apart. It's your fault because you couldn't keep your drawers on back in the day.
Oh. Yeah, that's a kill. That's a big kill.
Because apparently she was handing it out like playing cards. Because you don't know who's the father to anybody.
Man, wow. Giving out jokers.
Playing cards.
I don't think the daughter should tell the father, because that is her father. I wouldn't bother telling them that I found out you're not my biological dad, because at the end of the day, it's your sperm. That's the man who raised you. That's the man who took care of you and all that good stuff. I wouldn't even bother saying that. But be sure to put the mama in a place when it's just me and the mama, you know?
Mm-hmm. She's trying to get to know her other siblings and her other family, and eventually that's going to raise questions.
Well, it's bound to happen when you're in a tangled web like that of deceit. It's going to be some curiosity that kicks in. I would let mom know, listen, I know you was messing around, and I know that who my real daddy is, and I want to know the other side of my family. Now, I'm going to leave it up to you to let him know, but I am going to let the rest of them know or whatever, but I am going to have a relationship with my other siblings, the rest of my family. It's only fair. You can't stop her from wanting to be a part of the rest of the family like that. Mom going to have to deal with her karma, and her daughter finding out everything is her karma. So
But also, too, I mean, she said the whole family was given these DNA tests, so who knows how many of the other kids are having the same questions that she's having.
More than likely, yeah. Well,
because apparently there's one older and two younger from the way she described it. So if everybody took these DNA tests, then everybody is seeing results that ain't making sense to them.
Well,
you know what? The mother was smart by controlling the account, but I'm gonna look at it. See, you know, since ACL said it, you know, at the end of the day, it's just sperm. I don't think it's just sperm. I think the idea of you raising someone else's child without you ever knowing, because you wasn't given the benefit of that doubt, is wrong. From the highest order, the morals behind that whole thing is fucked up beyond all recognition. But, you know, you never know if somebody has some type of health ailment or something goes on, and they go to the person. The person's like, oh, yeah, I'll donate a kidney. I'll do this. I'll do that. And they can't do it because there's not a biological match. Because that's what's going on. People find out those type of things that are going on as it is. You know, there's people who do things biologically that are truly fucked up for the people, because they're choosing not to tell the person that you know, your child may not be yours. And when you go through that, like, it's the nuttiest thing. Like, you know, like if someone told me that my children were mine, I'd lose it. I would lose it. I ain't gonna hold you. I'd lose it, because, you know, from the time they came out the womb, it's this face they saw. It was nobody else's face. And for someone else, I was like, the amount of emotional, spiritual, just soul energy that you put into your children, you know, it's just one thing. And so, for, you know, her mom is real fucked up. Like, that's a fucked up individual, because she continued to do what she's doing. Like, you know, and my thing is, like, you know, we tried men for doing shit like not being a father, but, you know, this is like, this is taking not being a mother to the highest level. Like, it's really doing it. Like, oh, you know, like, you know, I just go see this person for male attention. I don't know if I got pregnant. And he's like, yo, when she said, you know, he's like, I live with my biological father all my life. Huh? Wait a second. I thought, you know, and then the mother told a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Told a lie. To make them think, to take the strength of their father, who he is as an individual, out of the eyes of his own children, to cover up her own inequities. That's some fucking bullshit, if I ever heard it.
Yeah,
I agree with you, bro. I think it is foul. I thought, as far as, like, the daughter telling the father, as far as her, like, I feel like when it boils down to it, that's still your father. But as far as all that other stuff, I do agree with you. I think it is. That's fucked up.
That's an awful thing.
Yeah, that's just fucked up.
That's
that's
that
Kanye song.
I mean, like, yo, but for real, but think about it. Think about it. Imagine, you know, like someone is like, okay, you know, like, and it's weird because, you know, I want to know my children. Like, I want to know, I want you next to me. I want to be able to see you. I want to be able to, like, you know, marvel at you. I want to count, you know, if you a baby, I want to count all your fingers and your toes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be there. And then you tell me that this child is not mine? Oh, I don't know. I'm surrounded by y'all, so I'm pretty good about a lot of things. Y'all could probably talk me off the ledge, but whew.
I can't even imagine. Just, well, she just kept going and going and going and going. I mean, wow. I don't know what to say about this. Man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Noah was doing whatever. She was having a ball, and who knows how long or if she's even quit that behavior. And this man is raising children that he thinks are his, and none of them might not be his for the way she was living. And then she tried to put it off on him, saying that he was promiscuous.
Oof.
No, but that, you know, the funny thing is that sometimes, like father lies is one thing, which is one thing. It's like there's lies that fathers will tell their children and stuff like that. But when mothers tell lies about certain things, and I'm not holding it directly to them, but the children grew up with this belief, you know. And I've seen it happen because my ex did it to my children. She told my children my side of the family hated them just to gain an advantage. You know, and the thing was, which was crazy, is that when we split and my son came with me, my son only deals with this side of the family. Like, that's his thing, right? He doesn't even go on his mother's side of the family because he doesn't want to be bothered because of the type of stuff that she said. And he's like, listen, I'm going to have to love you from a distance. You're my mother, I love you, but I'm going to have to do it from a distance because of the type of stuff that she was doing. Like, and she was moving in a particular fashion. She still moves crazy, you know, still says crazy shit and thinks that it rocks. And I was like, yo, you need help, you know. And it's nuts because you start to see the effects of how certain things, how lies were certain told and everything else like that. And so when my son found out the truth, my son was like, man, listen, my grandfather, like, it's crazy. He's like, my grandfather's my grandfather. My grandmother's my grandmother. This is that. Like, he was like, really dutiful towards his parents, like, you know, and literally and figuratively, you know. He's like, yo, she would say all kinds of crazy stuff just to be saying it so she can just gain some type of advantage because that's just who she was. But, you know, speaking of which, because we don't got a lot of time left, I want to get into this last one where Aeson didn't see the clip where we put the clip. I put the clip in the I put it in the War Council chat with the man coming home to see his father eating chicken and his girl in the smallest shorts.
Yo, that right there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
So let me ask. All right. So, Aeson, what would you do, right, if you came home from work early and you saw your father, sitting at your table eating chicken? And your girl in the skimpiest amount of clothing ever, and it says she's cooking chicken, you know, and she's like, I'm cooking chicken for my man. She said that, too. She's like, I'm cooking for my man. And he's like, you ain't cooking chicken for me. And
right.
He missed it. You know, but the pops have been chilling. He said, yo, this is the second time I came home, and you sitting in here. He said, you didn't call me to tell me you coming over. So, Aeson, what would you do?
All right, so quick story. My father at one time, he had this young girl he was dating. She had to be about maybe 5-6 years older than me. Me and her had gotten close where we were just friends, hanging out, chilling. She was good peoples. He pulled me aside one time because he didn't like the fact that she and I were chilling. And he said, "That's my bitch. She sucked my dick.
Ooh,
you need to go and find her."
Wow.
Now, ooh, mind you, at that time, my father was high. He was on drugs. So the fact that he even pressed his son and said that, he was off the mark. Like, "You tripping, bro. You need to get yourself together." I personally, if I came home and I saw that, I'm putting them both in check. Like, first of all, you ain't going around the house like this. If I'm not home and you got company over, you what's that about? And then on top of that, I have to tell my dad, like, "Pops, I love you, but don't show up if I ain't here. Don't just walk up in my house and think it's cool." And then I'm going to go even further and ask the question, like, what the fuck is going on? Because why are you walking around knowing that your father-in-law is in here, walking around in skimpy clothes, talking about something, "I'm cooking for my man"? And then I'm also investigating what type of chicken she cooking, because I like a certain type of chicken. And if it ain't the type that I like, everybody getting fucked up. That's pretty much it.
Everybody getting there.
If you know I like buffalo, I'll be making teriyaki, bitch. What the fuck is you really doing? That's all I'm saying.
I'm dead.
Don't play me. So, yeah, that's crazy.
I had that experience with my father. I had a friend that was always trying to sleep with my ex-wife. He was always trying to sleep with her. Like, he was always trying to get her. And so he worked across the street. He was teaching math across the street. And he kept coming over on his lunch break. And so he had proposed to me, he had proposed to me anything else that was going on. Like, yo, "How you like my girl? You want to sleep with my girl? Blah, blah, blah. Sleep with your, you ever think about doing a swap?" Just crazy shit, right? And so
I
went over there, and it was funny because Ayana was like maybe she was September, it was November, so Ayana was like 3 months old, and he was going over there. And I was just like, you wildin'. Like, "You wildin'," and everything else like that. And it was like funny because I was like, I had to cut the friendship off and go about my business because I was like, this dude is crazy. Like, he's really trying to, I'm like, out of all the things you could be doing, you are really focused on this one thing. And I was like, and I told him, I said, if I come home and I see this dude, we just going to fight on sight. That's what it's going to be, which is crazy because I never met anybody who coveted somebody else's, and it's like, and it's not like he didn't have his own girl. It's not like he didn't have a whole bunch of people. He just wanted her. It was like this single-minded devotion and stuff like that. But, I wouldn't know what to do, if that happened, Although, my brother's ex, I started talking to her first, and then he kind of stole her from me. But I didn't do nothing with her, though, so it kind of works out. Hello?
Here's my thing. Look, if I'm with you and your family comes over and you're not home, when they get there, my first thing is going to be call you, text you something. Your brother, your daddy, your uncle, somebody is over here, and let you know. And so the fact that she was being kind of flippant about the fact that his daddy was sitting there comfortable in their house having some chicken, and she's walking around in booty shorts and a belly top, the whole thing was just kind of fucked up. And I get it, that why dude was acting the way he was acting, because, it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. Even back in the day, when I was a kid, my parents lived next door to my father's parents. So it was a matter of walking over at any time whenever they wanted to come over. But even back then, before there was any such thing as this easy communication that we have now to be able to call anybody anywhere they are, my mother was, and my grandfather had no intentions of making anybody uncomfortable. But my mother was not, unless we absolutely absolutely had to call my grandfather. She didn't invite him over there. And he was very mindful of what he was doing as well, and he would rarely come over there if Dad wasn't home. So, you know, there's a whole set of disrespect going on in that situation.
He was tearing that ass up, and she was loving it. That's why she was so comfortable when her dude came home, okay? And it has been going on for a long time. It wasn't new. It was probably going on way before the first time he ever came home and seen him there. That right there, that kind of shit gets you killed, I'm trying to tell you.
There'd be all kinds of men's melee, but I mean, but my father's not disrespectful like that. Like he wouldn't do stuff like that. So I, you know, like it's just none of that would happen with us. We were real funny about that, you know. Maybe a cousin. No, you're my cousin. My cousin wouldn't do that shit. But if I seen it, like it'd be some problem because I'm gonna get to the point. I ain't got time for all of it. Oh, you know. This pussy foot around. I was like, listen, y'all fucking? I was like, because y'all fucking, you can eat your food, and then both of you get the fuck out. You go upstairs, get shit, get stuff. I was like, listen, I was like, we can have some legal proceedings. I'll evict you from the premises. You go, or I'll evict you, and then that'll be it. Then, you know, because it's crazy, because it's this nutty shit. Nutty shit. That would wild out. But, you know, there are people who are like that. They disrespectful like that. They'll just be like, okay. Like, oh, I'm going to try to get you. I was just testing her loyalty. I was just testing her loyalty. See where she was. Anyway, that being said, I don't know. But we got a few minutes, and it's a school night. And I don't mind ending a little bit early, but I want to thank everybody for coming out this evening, having this good conversation with me. Danielle was around for the playlist when I was playing all the good music. You like that? That was dope, right? I was running.
You know I was in a mood. Yes.
I was running them joints. I was like, this.
Yeah.
And I'm about to get this thing that allows me to like I'll be able to play through the laptop directly into the system, much like you're talking. You hear me talking, I'll be able to play music the same way. So I probably won't even be in my playlist anymore. You know, I gotta make space for Lisa Lips and Lady A and the Inkwell every other Friday here on the Pivot Radio Universe.
Appreciation.
You know, but stay on my playlist.
You should be one to talk. You'll be in
right.
Oh my God.
I'll be in everybody's playlist. I'll be in everybody's playlist. Occasionally dip into Bear's playlist because I'm looking for a particular song and I know that fool done loaded it up and I got to take that from that fool. I need to do it. You know, I need some craziness. I need some classic Philly style. I'll dip into this for reals. But other than that, everybody else is safe. Everybody else is good, you know.
Okay.
They be playing, you know, strange music I ain't heard before. It's weird. I can't deal with it. I got to have my vibe. All my music is vibey. I have to have good vibey music. It works
out.
That's true. You know, I got real vibey music. I ain't got no ass clap music. But you got, I got some ass
clap. But it makes you
want to
get your ass clapped.
Oh, well, yeah, well, hey, listen, that's some good clappage there. If you get hit, listen, yeah. Y'all think I'm playing, but watch, because I just moved it to the different format. Now, y'all thought I was playing before. I was like, now I got the new format along with all the other stuff that I'm doing. These T-shirts is going to be crazy because I'm just doing runs. I'm just doing a run of 12 T-shirts each time I do it. I'm just going to change it. I'm going to have a shirt that says clap it, Tony. What?
Oh, shit.
I'm like, what?
Well, you know, certain ones that need to have the clap it T-shirts on.
I need one.
Listen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm definitely going to get one.
You know, clap it. She's like, look. So it's Christmas coming. y'all gonna see the appearance of the for no damn reason joint. You gonna see it, because Danielle, you thought I was kidding about my titties be titty and shirt. Yeah, I'm gonna need y'all to take these pictures. Make sure nipples are showing. We need to see the areolas through the t-shirt. Let me stop. I'm just kidding.
Oh my!
I'm just, pay me no mind. I just ate some ice cold mint chocolate chip cookies, so I'm on a high right now.
I'm at a dirty fart, but I'm gonna keep that to myself.
I was just saying. Mm. Listen. Hey, you sound
the one. Have a wet t-shirt complex?
Oh yeah, no. Next week, listen. You know, I got some things planned. People are gonna see it before they see it. They gonna be like, "Yo," they gonna be like, "Yes." I said, "You know, I don't get mad. I just elevate. That's all I do. I got some crazy shit coming."
If Javi makes t-shirts for a wet t-shirt contest, they're gonna be the cheapest t-shirts ever created on earth. As soon as they get wet,
it'll
be completely transparent. It'll be like
absolutely.
Tissue.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Don't be buying the ones that dissolve in water, neither. Oh, shit.
Hell yeah,
I wouldn't do that.
Man, fuck that. Buy them shits, man.
Listen, I'm going to make a shirt that says, "With great nipples come great responsibility." I kid you not. I am not kidding. I am doing that. Look, people are like Dave is gonna be surprised because Dave's gonna be like, "Yo," he's like, "Nick, you really made the shirt." So I'm like, "I surely did," because you think I was joking about that food pods mechanic shirt? I put that shit in today. I was like, "Yeah, I need this many." As possible.
Oh, see, I've been like, waiting for that to come out.
They were like, yo, you really got a FUPA mechanic?
Yeah.
My service.
Specializing
my
it.
Dude.
Yeah.
Listen, because I realized, I said, you know what? I said, I'm never doing puff because, you know, that's the way of the past. Everything is different now. I'm like, the affirmation shirt, I'm going to have those. Ready to go. Be like, "Oh, you okay, let's go." I was like, "Watch. Give me 2 weeks waiting for the joints to come in." I was like, I get stuff next Wednesday and then the following Thursday. Crazy. Mess with people. I'm even gonna find me a couple 5Xs for you.
Appreciate it. So this is gonna be at the meetup?
I'll bring some with me at the meetup. Yeah, I'll bring some with me, but I gotta make sure because Logan is doing a menu for us. He's doing a whole thing, and I think I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have them cook the food and then bring it to where we at, because we're gonna have like two different locations, but the one location is black owned. I think when I go this weekend, I'm gonna make the deposito on that, so we have it. And so they got good prices. They have the greatest prices ever. So then all I'm going to do from that point, once I put the deposit down, it's all about promotion. But I'm going to bring these T-shirts because, you know, I know people need that. I'm also doing Black Christmas shirts because people ain't got Black Christmas shirts. So I'm going to do the Black Christmas shirt thing. Why? Because you need the Black Christmas shirts. People ain't got no Black Christmas shirts. I'm going to do Kwanzaa. I'm gonna hit people with the Kwanzaa shirts. They're gonna be mad. I'm like, "Yo, you can get a shirt for every day of Kwanzaa. Straight up. It's gonna look good. You're gonna like it." I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, with the kid. The kid is on it. Anyways, since we're over here, let me get off this thing. I gotta make sure people go to bed. You know, don't go get late passes and shit. And I gotta print out this one thing, and then I'll be done with that particular thing, and then I gotta work on two other things. So I got to do that and get to work. Anyway, love y'all. Talk to you soon. Thank y'all for coming.
Much love.
Universe, War Council. War Council.
Love y'all.
For Real Entertainment Network. Flash it. Flash it. All right. And it's this episode will come to stop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Later.
Hey.